Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You'll see something up here. What is it that you see that's a little bit different? There is a backpack there, because I'm going to tell you a travel story. This is a travel story I was not expecting to tell, not at all expecting to tell. Now, you heard last week of how God has sent me places I don't expect to go. Well, one of those places was Aberdeen, South Dakota. You know, I spent my internship year there, and because I fully expected to remain in South Dakota, I somehow managed to acquire quite a bit more than I had when I first got there. And then when Scott came out in April to visit me, he brought a truckload more. That means that when we rented a truck in order to bring things from Aberdeen here to Buffalo, somehow they wouldn't all fit. Don't know how that happened. As a result, I needed to leave some things behind. And the financial secretary of the church, Deb, was kind enough to allow me to leave box loads of things in her garage. A few months ago, she called and said, "When are you going to come and pick up your stuff?" I said, "You know, I fully intended to be there long ago, but things this year have not been going according to plan, and I keep going to California instead. But the first opportunity I have in June or July, I will come and pick up the stuff." She said, "You really need to pick up the stuff because I have to move my parents to a care facility. I need to move their stuff into my garage. I need to move your stuff out." And she did. She moved it into the church nursery. Now I really need to pick up my stuff. And so I was wondering, when am I ever going to have a chance to get away? If you want a job where you know every day what is going to happen and that there won't be any interruptions in your schedule, don't become a pastor, because things happen. People get sick, people die, people need you, and you wonder, when can I ever get away? On Monday, this past Monday, I realized that all of my meetings for Tuesday had been canceled. and Wednesday and Thursday looked pretty clear. So I immediately made inquiry of booking.com, hotel.com, and found a really cheap accommodation in Aberdeen. And so I booked it and said, all right, this is non-refundable. That means I have to go. And then I started calling people to let them know that I was going to show up just to make sure. Of course, a lot of people were going on vacation. It meant I wasn't going to see people that I wanted to see. But it meant, too, that there would be people at the church who would help me to get into the nursery area and get my stuff. Now, this should have just been a quick and easy trip up there and back. I wouldn't be telling a story if that had happened that way. The drive out was uneventful. I decided to take the quick route that goes through the Cheyenne River Reservation. No problem at all. Except for road construction, of course, where you find yourself sitting in the middle of nowhere, field to your right, field to your left, and you're stopped. And 15 minutes go by and you're still stopped, and then you see the pilot car. Road construction, and you go 2 miles down the road and the same thing happens all over again. So it meant that there was a bit of a delay, but I still got there in pretty good time. And so the next day I was able to load up my stuff. And then a friend said, you can't come here and not spend some time with me. Okay. It looks like everything is still quiet in Buffalo. I can stay another day. And so I did. I was able to spend some time with her and her dogs and got slobbered all over by 3 French bulldogs. And that was fine. And I was just thinking, it's so nice that I was able to pack every piece of that stuff in the car, even though my husband said it was going to take 2 trip loads, and I was fully prepared to do that if need be. But I managed to get it all in the car. And then the trip back. I figured it was so uneventful going out. It's going to be really easy. I'm leaving kind of late because I wanted to hang out with the quilters. They had snacks. You know how that goes. And they kept me longer than I thought. But still, I'm thinking I'm going to gain an hour back. I'm going to make it in record time. No problem at all. Be home long before dark. Not a problem. Not a problem at all. I thought, well, I went the easy route out, the quick route. I'll take the slightly longer route. Part of me wanted to take the really long route, but no, let me take the slightly longer route that goes through Standing Rock Reservation. Because if nothing else, when you get close to Mobridge, the view of the Missouri River, you've seen it, haven't you? That big, wide river, and you don't see it quite as well the other direction. So I figured, I'll just go that way. It's only, a half an hour longer? And besides, I already know where the road construction is, the other route. This one, maybe I'll avoid the road construction. And I did. I avoided most of the road construction. And everything was going well. I saw the Missouri River, a glorious big river. And I'm thinking, I'm really making record time here. No problem at all. And I get through Lemon, and I know then that I make the turn that goes left to the town of Faith. I'd stopped in Faith on the way out. It has a really cool little city museum, the kind that has band uniforms up on the wall, old typewriters, things like that. It has a display about the T-Rex that was found. You can touch a real dinosaur bone. You know, nice little place just to stop and stretch. So I figure, okay, I'll just head for Faith. I know where Faith is. So I get past Lemon, and that's when the warning light came on my car. I reach into the glove box. It takes a little bit of maneuvering because I have so much stuff in my front seat. But I managed to open up the box and get out the book and see what the warning light is. The little thing that looks like a battery, alternator, or charging system. It tells me I'm supposed to pull over to the side of the road and stop because otherwise the car might suddenly stop. Obviously, the writers of this book have no idea what rural South Dakota looks like. Do you know where the side of the road is to pull off? There isn't one. It's about yay big before you end up in the ditch. And you have fields, again, to your right, fields to your left, cows, no people, almost no traffic on this road. There is no place for me to pull over unless I pull over into someone's driveway somewhere, if I can find one. I don't think so. I think I'm just going to keep driving until I get to faith. And so I drive. And then the car starts to make a strange noise, one of those, it's like, oh, please. No, 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 God, please, 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 let me get safely to faith. Please, God, let me get safely to faith. Please, let me. And we move along, and then the next light comes on, and then the next light comes on. And all I can do is beg, Lord, Lord, please get me safely to faith. Please, Lord, please. And the car is not cooperating. I've now lost power steering. I'm still on this rural road, still approaching faith. I know it's about 34 miles between Lemon and faith, and I'm somewhere in between. Please, Lord, just get me safely to faith. And finally, I see 212. To my right is Belfouche and Spearfish. To my left is faith. There is no way I'm going to make it to Belfouche. So the only thing I can do is turn as hard as I can with no power steering, turn left, and then limp toward faith. And limp we did, the car continuing to go. By this time, all the lights have gone out on the instrument panel. It shows I'm going 0 miles an hour. Everything's gone blank. And all I can do is say, Lord, I'm so close to faith. Just let me get safely there. And I continue to drive and pull into this little motel that I remember because Scott and I stayed there once. And stopped the car, and then the car died. Wouldn't turn back on. And I'm there shaking. Because this has been a terrifying experience for me, just driving in rural South Dakota, hoping, begging, pleading with God that I get safely to faith. And now I am safely in faith. And I'm still shaking so much that I'm trying to find my AAA card, and I can't find it. It has to be there. It has to be there, and I can't find it. So all I can do is get on my cell phone and call my husband. It's like, Scott, my car is broken down in faith. I can't find my AAA card. I need you to call me. Just call me and give me your AAA number just in case. Just please call me. And I hang up. And then I sit, and he's not calling me back. It's like, this is not good. All right. So I go over to the gas station across the way and use its facilities and come back. Now, by this time, I'm a little less shaken. And look in my billfold, and there's my AAA card right where I always keep it. But I also found that I have AAA roadside assistance in my phone, and so when I called them, they were able to pull up my number anyway. So I pull it up. And they say, where are you? And I said, I am in faith. Where is that? South Dakota. Well, this is California. And so we're going to have to connect you with South Dakota. Wait just a minute. They finally connect with South Dakota and they ask, where am I? I said, I am in faith. Where is that? It's on 212, not that far from Belfouche, Spearfish. And where do you want to go? To some place that will fix my car? Do you know of any place in faith? And no, I don't know that anything is available here that can take care of my car. Then we'll have to tow it. Fine. Where would you like us to tow it? To any place that'll fix my car? Do you know of a... No, I don't know of a place. Can you just tow it to any place that'll fix my car? We can tow it to Rapid City. That's like going the wrong way a little bit. That's more than my 100-mile tow. They said, yeah, and we can tow first 5 miles are free. You have a 100-mile tow, but anything beyond that, of course, is $5 a mile. They said, where are you going? I said, I'm trying to go home to Buffalo, Wyoming. So can you get me as close to Wyoming as you can? They said, we'll see what we can do. Okay. And so I wait. And finally, a tow driver comes. It's quite a while by this time. I'm rapidly going to lose daylight. There's no way I'm going to get home tonight, is there? And so he comes out and connects up my car, hooks it to something that makes it run so that he can get it onto the tow truck. By this time, I still don't know where I'm going. I'm sending messages back and forth to my husband saying, I think we're going to Rapid, but I'm not sure. And I still don't know till about halfway through. I think we're getting close to Sturgis by the time I realize we are going to Spearfish. And by the time we arrive in Spearfish, by the time I made hotel reservations that it turns out are nowhere near where my car is going to be towed, the tow truck driver drops me off at the hotel and turns around and drops my car off. And the very nice lady from the motel actually comes out and says, are you Anne? I said, yes. She said, I figured you must be. And showed me where my room was. I couldn't figure it out by this time. I'm still so frazzled. And she says, go to that main building there and make a right, which direction? There are like plenty of... She said, let me show you. Thank you. And so the next morning, I get a call from the repair facility and Spearfish. He said, your car, we have your keys. Yeah. I said, I was towed there last night. He said, we can't even look at your car until the end of next week. I said, no, I have to go home. You don't understand, I have to go home. I can't wait until the end of next week. He said, then you'll have to have it towed again. So I called AAA again, same sort of thing. California has to connect to South Dakota. And she talks to me and she says, we can tow it. We can tow it to Rapid, but it's going to be $95 to pick it up. And you get 5 free miles, and then the rest are $5 a mile. It's 35 miles. It is at this point, I think, I burst into tears. This works if you're female. This does not work if you're male. If my husband were to burst into tears, I don't think the same thing would happen. I couldn't help it. I was just so frustrated at that point. And somehow bursting into tears helped because she said, we will find a way to take care of this for you. Stay on the line. I'm not going anywhere. Stay on the line. That's fine. She looks things up, and it turns out there. She says, where are you? I said, I'm in Spearfish. And where's your car? In Spearfish. She said, according to our records, you're still in faith. You've never been towed. And because of that, we can tow you. Okay. Let's check out the place in Rapid City. And so she said, normally we make our customers do this, but I'll do this for you, as I sniffle. And she calls the facility in Rapid City. They said they had 2 other vehicles that had been towed the night before, and they would not be able to get to my vehicle until Tuesday. And so this nice lady named Whitney said, so where would you like to go? I said, can you tow me to Gillette? She said, yeah, Gillette is 96 miles away. That's within your 100 miles of tow. And so she found that there is one AAA facility. The one that they towed me to in Spearfish wasn't even a AAA facility. So she found a facility in Gillette. But then comes the next problem. She said, now you need to figure out a way to get to your car. My car is 3 miles away. I look up whether there is Uber service. There isn't. I try to book Lyft, and after the time that they're supposed to pick me up comes and goes, I realize they don't have Lyft either. They don't seem to have bus service. They don't seem to have much of anything. And so I really don't feel like I have much of a choice except to grab my backpack and walk. Had I realized that most of that was uphill, I might have thought differently. I might have begged and pleaded for $20 if you just get me. It's 5 minutes. 5 minutes by car. It's an hour to walk it, but I didn't. I figured by this time it would be better for me to walk anyway just to get the emotions out of my system. So you just imagine me with this backpack. With my computer, with my clothes, with my toiletries, with everything in it, strapped to my back as I'm walking along the road of Spearfish. Okay, I got a chance to see downtown Spearfish. That's level. But then as soon as you move from downtown, it's straight uphill. And for about a mile and a half of that, not only is it straight uphill, but there are no sidewalks. And so I'm walking along. It is hot. It took me a long time on the phone with that nice lady from AAA. And the sweat is running down. You know how it is when your hair feels like porcupine spines because of all the salt, and it's just dripping, and I'm never going to make it. I'm just not going to make it, Lord. Lord, please just get me up there. Part of me wanted to thumb a ride. Not that I thought that would be a good idea, not that anyone seemed to be inclined to do that. And so I walked and I walked, and I now realize why people stumble into the roadway and get hit by cars. It's because they're exhausted. And so I finally went up there, you know, this backpack cutting into my shoulder, it hurts. And I'm walking and walking and thinking, what was it like for those 70 as they were told to get on the road and just go? What must it have been like for them as they were told, just go, don't take anything with you? Well, then they wouldn't have a backpack cutting under their shoulder, would they? They wouldn't be so obsessed with making sure their computer was okay that they have to drag this thing everywhere. No wonder Jesus told them to travel lightly. If I traveled lightly to begin with to Aberdeen, I wouldn't have to go back there and get all my stuff, would I? And so I finally make it up to the top, and I see, finally, the repair facility right over there. But before the repair facility, Pizza Ranch. I deserve Pizza Ranch. I do. I really do, especially since I've now received a text message saying, sorry for the delay, but it's going to be 2.5 hours before we can get to you. I deserve Pizza Ranch. I really do. I don't like their pizza, but their chicken is really, really good. And so I sat in Pizza Ranch, sweat pouring off of me, dabbing away at it, drinking soda rather than water. I know I need hydration, but soda tastes good and I'll drink it. Waiting until finally they call and say, we'll be there in about 45 minutes. Good. Good. So I get over there and get to my car and wait and wait. And finally see the tow truck driver who doesn't see me. Oh, no, you're not leaving without me. Hey, over here. All right. My car, right. And he sees me. We load up my car, and we head to Gillette. We had a really nice conversation. Turns out he lives in Sundance, showed me where their call facility is on the way to Devil's Tower. And I'm just thinking, I wonder what's going to happen when we make it to Gillette. It's really late. I waited 5 hours for the tow. Turns out, of course, the reasoning behind that is as they try to maneuver through all of these different avenues from California to South Dakota to Wyoming, it just causes delay. And they had just received the message a short time before they had contacted me, letting me know it would be 2.5 hours. So it's been 5 hours. We get to the facility in Gillette, and the nice lady there says, "Are you the AAA tow?" Mm-hmm. She said, "We were expecting you this morning, because we close at 3 today because of the holiday. It's now 3:45. But because we have not had the chance to close our doors, we'll look at your car." I said, "Thank you. That is the best news I have heard all day. Thank you." So I sit wondering, I'm thinking, if it's the alternator, I don't know what I'm going to do. By this time, I've texted people. I've texted 2 people to let them know where I am. And their response was, "Do you need a ride from Gillette?" I said, "I don't know yet. But thank you for the offer. I don't know yet." And they look at my car and come back saying, "It's the alternator belt. And the part is in stock. We can get it, and we can get you on the road tonight." She said, "Why didn't someone just open up the hood of your car, and they would see this is a simple problem that could be fixed, and you didn't have to go through all this hassle?" I said, "I have no idea." $28 part plus labor. So I got out of there for less than $100. And I was thinking, on my way out, I had stopped in a Family Dollar and had picked up a couple of wooden signs to kind of add to my collection here in my office. And I'm thinking, maybe God wanted to make true these signs. Let me show them to you. If I can open, I think I need my glasses to even see my hat. So I picked up these 2 signs that I think God decided to make real. First is, "Believe all things are possible." "Yes, Lord, I believe. Because when I prayed that you would get me to faith, you got me to faith in more ways than one." And the other is, "Find blessings in everything." And I do. When I look at how hospitality was extended to me, especially by the folks in Gillette, who did not have to look at my car. They could have just said, "We can't deal with this until Tuesday when we reopen." If it had not been for that wonderful person, Whitney of AAA, who took the time to find a solution to the problem when she didn't have to. She said, "You could have been my mother or my sister or some other family member, and I couldn't leave you stranded." And then I look at our gospel lesson for today, where Jesus told the 70, and they would have been an assortment of people, men and women, going out into the towns where Jesus wanted to go. But he wasn't going to be able to reach all of those towns when his face is set toward Jerusalem. And so he sent them out, telling them to knock on a door, say, "Peace to this house," and walk in. And if they found hospitality there to stay. And if they couldn't find hospitality, to go somewhere else. Because they were to expect both hospitality and rejection. The idea that sometimes you have to be the recipient of other people's hospitality. I know we talk a lot about how we extend hospitality to others, but sometimes we have to accept their hospitality, what they do for us. Jesus told them to eat whatever is put before you, kosher or not. Terribly terrible tasting or not, you eat what's put before you because you are a guest. And oh, how I have learned that lesson this week. That $28 part has taught me quite a bit. Luckily, I've not had to shake the dust off my feet because people have been so hospitable to me. One of my professors in seminary wrote this article a few years back, and she said, to be sure, shaking the dust off your sandals is not simply a lesson in morality or a trouble-free rule for Christian living. It is a wider insistence on persistence. You shake the dust off and move on, certain of the truth of gospel. And then you come back the next day and testify to the truth once again, and the day after that. And that's the hard part. Because the real truth is not everyone sitting in the pews or anywhere else wants to hear that the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near whether you want to hear about it or not. And that's what Jesus told his disciples. Tell them, even if they reject you, the kingdom of God has come near. A kingdom that is so unlike any kingdom on this earth. Because it has a Lord unlike any Lord on this earth. The Lord of the harvest. The one who plants is also the one in charge of harvest. So, during this week, I've learned lessons I thought I already knew. Lessons that these signs are going to remind me of. To believe that all things really are possible. To find blessings in everything. To remember the kingdom of God has indeed come near. Amen. Let us join together in the hymn of the day. Lord, you give the Great Commission.